Welcome to the Image and Glory Conference 2025. Open your heart to receive the words of righteousness declared to equip us against the words of darkness. Hearken to these holy words and be empowered to rule and reign.
Father, Lord, we just thank you tonight for mercy. Thank you for grace that is available to us. We honor you, Jesus. We thank you because you are faithful. We thank you because you are kind. We honor you, Jesus. We give you praise. I trust you, Jesus. I've come again that you deliver help to me greatly. And you give help to your sons and your daughter greatly, Lord. I know there's a burden in the heart of your servant, Pastor Dimeji. I know there is what he is desiring. I want you to bless me with mercy. That what you have put in his heart, in his soul, in his spirit, you help me to labor. You grant me mercy to labor together with you, Jesus. That I will supply that which is still lacking. That you will show mercy, Lord. I will supply that which is lacking. I will strengthen that which has been built so far. You help me to fit in where you want me to fit in, Lord. I receive mercy. I receive grace that this house will move forward. This work will go forward. You will give greater push to this work. What you are doing in us and what you are doing in this house, in the name of Jesus. By reason of this tonight ministration, you also speak to the larger saints in the body, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We receive mercy. And I come under authority of your servant in this house. That same grace will distill down, Lord. Acknowledge the angel that you have sent for this conference. And the angel that you have assigned to walk with me. I know he's here tonight with me. I humble myself. I receive ministry from him. Thank you, Father. Honor to you, Son of God. Glory to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we are praying. The issue of the manner of ministry that we are receiving, which is the ministry of the Son of God, is getting gradually heightened. And the speaking of the Son of God from the voice of his word to the voice which is in Hebrew chapter 12. There's a voice of his word unto, that is how he started, before you hear the voice of the Son. Then there's the voice of the blood. In that Hebrew 12, you find the voice of the word. In that 19, then you move into the voice of the blood, which speak better things than that of Abel. So the ministry of the Son of God is becoming stronger amidst the people of God. And we have come into a season where particularly God is interested in not just the people having dominion, but God wants us to prosper in dominion and move us into reigning. Because you can have dominion and you are not reigning. And you cannot reign until you have been crowned. Crowning is important for reigning, to be crowning and receiving scepter are two critical things that come, that commission or lead to coronation and reigning. A people must receive firstly crown and scepter. You'll find that in the book of Hebrews 1:8. But that cannot take place, but the Paul talk about him receiving a crown of righteousness. Then Jesus have a scepter of righteousness. Those are promises to them that overcome. A big amen. And those promises are promises in everlasting life. There are promises in everlasting life. A big amen. Amen. So it's very, very important that what by the body of the Lord laying into God's servant, I want to believe, is a vision in the heart of the Son of God. And we must trust everyone to gradually guide our feet of our soul to carry out obediences that will bring us into this. A big amen. Amen. So, you have to know that the Son of God is not only a concept in the New Testament. But the Son of God, yeah, the theme is the Son of God and the reign of righteousness. So the Adam was the Son of God. And by the time, that's Luke 3, and by the time you get into Genesis 6, you will find that Adam was not only the Son of God. As at Genesis 6, everyone, they were still sons of God. They called them sons of God, saw the daughters of men. So really, issue of the sons of God are things that began from Genesis, from the beginning. A big amen. So that's why when you read to read the book of John, is that which is in the beginning. That means that which is in the beginning. Firstly, God began before the world of creation. There's a beginning before the beginning of creation. A big amen. But the heartbeat of God has been around the issue of sons. So we know that by the reason of gospel that the first creation, or let me use how Isaiah referred to them, call it the former creation. The former creation, which eventually we no longer have former creation anymore. What we have now is old creation. Former creation have been perverted and they are now old creation. A big amen. Or the present creation. Have suffered so much damage and corruption that the intention of God has not changed in having souls in his image and in his likeness. That was the intention of God. Adam, and we saw that Adam and the four sons that were raised were sons that were in part. When I say in part, they were sons of the living. A big amen. That they were sons of the living. Say the living. I can't hear you, George. And we saw that as the living, they had dominion. A big amen. What did I say? They had dominion. Although their dominion was limited to the earth. When I say the earth, including the heaven of the earth. That was how their dominion were limited. Because why? Their dominion was not of the heavenly. But when you study Psalm and Isaiah, the righteousness of God extended to the heavens. It's not only his righteousness that extended unto the heaven. You also call it is also another version called that righteousness. Call it his goodness extended unto heavens. What is the word? When you hear the word righteousness, the word righteousness simply means is life. Righteousness is life. That is how you find that in the book of Romans chapter 8. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That was sin there. Sin is not what you commit. Sin is firstly a life. Then sin is firstly a life. Then we say a man commits sin. You mean a man is committed to give that life expression. Sin is a life. Sin is not firstly what you commit. Sin is firstly a life that you are committed to. When you say he that committed sin, mean he that is committed to see that this life prosper and find fullest expression. What? He that committed sin, what? He's of the devil. Because devil sinned from the beginning. Sin was the life that Satan or the devil introduced to creation. A big amen. A big amen. A big amen. That is John chapter 8. The devil introduced sin in the beginning to the world. There was no sin. Imagine there was a time that this war, or before the world used flood to cleanse it, there was no sin. Imagine a world that there was no sin. I know you can't imagine it because it's limited in your mind. That there was no sin. Not sin as what you do or what you commit, but sin as a life. A big amen. How did Satan manufacture sin? Satan manufactured sin or created sin by enacting the law called transgression. That's 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law. What Lucifer did is transgress the law that was in him. A big amen. I don't like the way you are talking. Yeah. I can see help available tonight. Yeah. I'm sensing that there is a help to make certain things that are tied to be open. I'm sensing that I can perceive an angel here to help us to just touch few thoughts like that and open things up. So because you use scripture to explain scripture. So Satan transgressed. You find that also is it Isaiah or Ezekiel? Say you transgress it. So sin is transgressed. It transgressed the law. Amen. For whosoever committed sin. I've explained what it means to commit sin. A big amen. I think to commit sin is to be committed to a life. A big amen. So sin came as a result. God did not create sin. There was no sin when God created the world. Sin was a creature of a fallen cherub. And how did he create sin? He transgressed the law that was in him. And what are those laws that he transgressed? Give me Ezekiel 28. Let me start from that. Because sin is opposite of righteousness. Sin is opposite of righteousness. Sin came to oppose. You see, I used to say opposite. Man, I don't like you tonight. You are, don't be dull. Don't be dull. Be sharp in the spirit. So sin is opposite. But that word opposite is not just what an opposite. It's opposition. It's an imposter over what was available. And I said, sin is an opposite of righteousness. Because you find that also in 2 Corinthians chapter 15. Eh? So 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Awake to righteousness. Comma. And sin not. You find the word sin not a lot in 1 John. You find that sin not. You see, sin not. Either sin it that you might sin. Either have the sin of God, sin it not. Sin it not. You find that sin not. So, awake to righteousness and sin not. A big amen. So, if you are waking to something and sin not, so man awaken into sin. awakening to a life, or became conscious, or suddenly came to realization. To awaken, to come to realization. And sin all, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Big amen. Yeah. So go back into what I was saying. I said, Ezekiel chapter 28, that there are things that Satan transgressed. And majorly, Satan transgressed three things. There are three things that Satan transgressed that made us sin. That's why sin, you start dealing with sin from without the camp. That's how you start dealing with the sin. You start thinking, what? That is Hebrew chapter 13. You go without the camp. That's why you start dealing with sin. Not even in the camp, it's without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffer without the gate. That get me? Let us fall. Therefore, go unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Can you give me 14? For here, we have no continued city, but we seek one to come. A big amen. So you have to start taking sin from without the camp. And why? So you treat sin from without the camp unto when you appear before the presence. That's the stretch of sin. Sin from without the camp. When without the camp unto the presence. Because Lucifer used to be an angel of the presence. And that's why when Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 10, when he went into the heaven, he passed through heaven and poured all the heaven there to appear before the presence of God. A big amen. So he went. For Christ, Hebrews 9:27. I'm very sorry. For Christ is not entered to holy places are the heavenlies. A big amen. Holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true. The true there is the presence. Say that, y'all. The presence is called the true. Because it's heaven, it's not the true until you arrive at the presence. Because in the presence, there are fellowship that take place in the presence. The fellowship of the presence. The fellowship of the presence is what John was inviting writing men to come into. What was writing? For this thing have we written to you, you are not fellowship with us. For our fellowship is with the Father. The fellowship with the Father and the Son is the presence. A big amen. That's the fellowship of the presence. And so Lucifer was a being of the presence. A big amen. So the presence, said the presence. I can't hear you, everybody. So the presence is where the Father and the Son is. You also find them in the book of Luke, just like I was saying. He said, when he was teaching about restoring that which is lost, the lordship of Israel, he said, for this joy, in the presence, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God. So you know the angels of God I was talking about here are being like the likes of Gabriel. A big amen. A big amen. And what? And so say there's joy. Go back. Say what? He said what? There is joy. It was in the presence of the angel of God. A big amen. So give me also 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. What's John chapter 1, verse 3? Want to everybody? Want to go? That which you have seen and heard, declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Truly, our fellowship with God is with the Father and with the Son. Okay. I want to go, everybody. And this thing I write unto you, that your joy might be full. So that's the presence. So where's the place of the fellowship? There is the presence. A big amen. That's where joy is. But presence, there's a distance in presence. So though you are in presence, but there's a distance. So another word for the presence means most holy. In the world of most holy, there's a distance. The most holy is presence. Also, Psalm 16, the big amen. Psalm 16, you see the journey until you arrive at the fullness of joy. There are things that will lead me in the path of righteousness. For you see those things that journey before you arrive. But from when you enter there, you come into fellowships. There are different levels of fellowship. That's why you could still be calibrating fellowship. A calibrated fellowship for little children. And little children are higher than newborn babe. Newborn babe are in the presence. Because when the message of the covenant or the law whom you see come into the sanctuary, he walk on priests, which are Levites, which are Christ. And then by the time he does what he calls the final fire and the fuller soap, he reduces them. They give birth to them, reduce them to newborn babe that he carries over into the most holy, or they carry them into the presence. That's why those little babies, he called them, he said, they rejoice, these babes, they rejoice in the presence of my father. Their angel rejoice. Their angel behold the face. So then you grow from newborn babe and become little children. And they are not in the same places. They are different places. In Psalm 84, he called them the courts of the Lord. Those are everlasting courts in most holy places. The courts of the Lord. A big amen. So in Psalm 84, because he says, "Ah, mebo I die tabernacles." What is that tabernacle? The tabernacle, which is in what? Hebrew chapter 8. There's a messenger. It's a messenger of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. According to that, Hebrew 8, Hebrew 9. For Jesus Christ have not entered into holy places made with hands, but to the true tabernacle. So in the true tabernacle are tabernacles. So he explained that tabernacles in that Psalm 84. How maybe are the tabernacles, O Lord of hosts, because it's the Lord of hosts that came from the most holy place and came into the sanctuary. A big amen. My soul longeth, yea, even fainted for the courts of the Lord. So he called it thy tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. The court of the Lord. And that Lord is a block letter. A big amen. Amen. So what's the first appearance when you get to the court of the Lord there? My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. So the court of the law is a call. So what you start having, you explain the first thing you encounter there is the living God. A big amen. Yeah. A big amen. Yeah. So I was saying in that Hebrew 9, that Christ not enter into holy places made with hands. And I said those holy places are heavens. But unto the world, unto heaven itself. So that heaven is also, because I say his righteousness extend unto the heavens. A big amen. Amen. And I say Adam and the living souls in Genesis, what they have access to were righteousness of the head. Both the righteousness of the earth and the heaven of the head. A big amen. Because heaven of the earth is called air. Both in Ephesians, A-R-A-I-R, both in Ephesians chapter 2 and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Ephesians 2, it's 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. I'm very sorry. 1 Thessalonians 4. Although what is in 1 Thessalonians 4, they also repeated it also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So that air there is the heaven of the living soul. A big amen. Amen. So the righteousness what extend unto the heavens. So righteousness did not stop only in the heaven of the head. He extended even unto the heavens of the angels. That's why. A big amen. Amen. A big amen. So I was talking about a being. I said there are what Satan did. What Satan transgressed. He transgresses. He's a transgressor. And what is transgress? Three things. Say three things. So I thought it's Ezekiel. Son of man, Ezekiel 28:12. A big amen. Take up a lamentation against the king of Tyre and say unto him, thou said the Lord God, thou sealed all the psalm. That means Lucifer has a seal over him. He has seal. What does he mean seal? He has a crown. Now I told you, so he reigns. A big amen. And I'm talking about crown and scepter. Then, not only has a seal, he also has full of wisdom. Say full of wisdom. Just like God also wanted to come to the full stature of the Son of God. So he's full of wisdom. He's full of wisdom. Say full of wisdom. It means that every other angel has wisdom, but in different measure. So Satan is full in the part in category of angel. He is full of wisdom. So it shows that every angel are wisdom being. But wisdom, for him not to be full of wisdom, I mean, he has wisdom in very to his brink. He's full. When it's not, he's full. He's full. They make sure that they fill him up and seal him. So he does not only have a seal, he also has full wisdom. Like a principality is a wisdom being. Powers are wisdom being. Rulers of darkness of this world are wisdom being. But they are not full of wisdom. They have wisdom. It was a measurement of wisdom unto them. Because without wisdom, you cannot assess the law of life, which is righteousness. But we are going to get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians 2. Because without there, so that you can begin to enjoy the ministration of righteousness, which is the ministry of New Testament. Because ministry of New Testament is the ministry of righteousness. That's what New Testament is. From the beginning to the end, it's New Testament. A big amen. So you can see that he is full of wisdom, but not only wisdom, he's also, after wisdom, but again, and perfect in beauty. Say perfect in beauty. So his wisdom, so you can say Lucifer is what? He's perfect in beauty. Wisdom is his brightness. Say that, joy. You also see that in that book of Ezekiel when you go down. For that have corrupted your brightness. Your brightness is his wisdom. A big amen. Yeah. Just like Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Who be the brightness of his glory. And the express image of his person. And upholding all things by the word of his power. A big amen. So there are three things that was in Lucifer. When I say transgress, sin is a transgression of the law. A big amen. Amen. So these three things are offshoot of the law. They are offshoot of the law. If you have been following teaching our community, there is the word and there's the law. Or there's the word and there's spirits. These three things are what make them, who make his angel spirits. These three things. Is their seal, which is their crown, is their blackness, and their what, which is their wisdom, and what? Their what? Their beauty. Say beauty. Say beauty. Say beauty. So we can see that. So Satan transgressed. He transgressed this thing. Because what power these three things are laws. They are law. They are offshoot of the law. They are offshoot of the law. They are offshoot of the law. They are things that came as a result of law. Because law will make you to have nature. You can't post of either godly nature or divine nature without the law. A big amen. It is the weaving of the law together that bring God nature. And it's nature that bring forth fruits. That's why when you see that Second Peter, the mention of divine nature, and they say, add, if this thing be in you, and they are bound, they make sure that you're not barren, but you are fruitful. That the addition of this thing will make a nature in you. Then you will bring forth fruits. A big amen. A big amen. A big amen. A big amen. So you can see that I said sin is opposition to righteousness. Because I said sin is a life and righteousness is life. So sin is life. Before committing it, before sin be a presumption, before sin is an omission, firstly, sin is a life. That's what I'm trying to explain. So it transgressed a law. And that law that is transgressed is a law of is the life that God put in. It's a law of our spirits that brought forth sin. And that's why, a big amen. Yeah. And because it's a law, because you can, when you are teaching the word of the law and the word of righteousness, you talk about wisdom. So you must know why sometimes when you are teaching about sin, or you talk about righteousness, you talk about wisdom. It's because what made up that law? Our integration. That's what I tell you. So in that law, you find seal, which is a crown. You find that in what is in devil, you find full of wisdom. You find wisdom. That all those things are corrupted. These are all those things that made up sin. So what made us sin is beauty. What made us sin is wisdom. What made us sin is seal. That's why sin reigns. Because sin has dominion. Sin has a seal. It has a crown. So the sin can reign. Because what where sin was founded in that being is a fold of three core that not easily broken. So when you are expressing sin, when you are trying to express sin, you will find in sin, you will find beauty there. Because you find beauty in sin. When you are talking about the world, what better lost, they are from beauty. You will find in sin, you will find wisdom in sin. But it's a falling wisdom. When you are talking about sin, you will find dominion in sin. Because he has a seal, a crown. So take note of those three things. Those three things are inherent elements in that it transgressed. It corrupted and transgressed that. Because according to that, 1 John chapter 4, 1 John 3 chapter 4, for he that committed sin is of the, 1 John 3, whosoever transgressed sin, transgressed also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin. Well, for in him is no sin. Say that they're talking about the Son of God. But in Satan, they say, until iniquity was far in him. But he's not transgressing his law. You can give it to me. It's in Ezekiel 28. So he transgressed his law. What was found in him is sin. A big amen. Because I was saying that righteousness did not begin in the New Testament. So righteousness was not alien to the whole world, according to Peter. Peter called it the whole world. The whole world. The whole world. Righteousness was not alien to them, because we need to understand that clearly for us to be able to see what is in the Son of God and the ministry of the Son of God in the latter times. Not in the last day. We are no longer in the last day. We are not in the latter times. When I was praying and praying, I was praying in my tongue. God go say, no, you are not in the last time. You are not in the latter times. So you can see that the we will not be able to appreciate the righteousness that Romans 10 is talking about without, because this is a righteousness that go as far from heaven unto down. So there's a righteousness that can take care from heaven down to ascend to the lowest part of the earth. A big amen. So you can see that. So Noah was called a preacher of righteousness. So there's a righteousness of the former creation. When you get back home, go and read Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, they repeat Isaiah 32, Isaiah 33, Isaiah 38. You will hear him talk about the former things have I declared. Before they came back to even my righteousness, he kept on referring to those things that what sustained those former things were a kind of righteousness. And he was also declaring the new things. And the new things that we made, the new things that we create, is also going to be sustained by a righteousness. So in those Isaiah, he was comparing two things, the former things and the new things. And he was bringing for interplay of righteousness. 42, you find that they repeated it almost three different of Isaiah. I don't want to go there. A big amen. So the former creation had a righteousness that was sustaining them. A big amen. So Noah, so he was glaring that Adam had a righteousness. And I say, righteousness extend unto the heavens. And I said that the ministry, or what? That you start learning righteousness from without the camp up to the presence. Because they have to take care of sin. Taking care of sin, which is opposition to righteousness. So, and no man can assess the word of righteousness without the preaching of faith. So, it is the preaching of faith that bring forth preaching of faith from the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to most holy faith. A big amen.
Amen.
So you preach from the faith in the Lord Jesus to the most holy faith, the old structures of righteousness. The old, what I call it? The old strata of righteousness. If they have total strata of righteousness, they also owe stratas of wisdom. And they also owe strata of sanctifications. And they also owe stratas of redemption. So what brought for your quickening of your spirit, it was, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Romans 8. For if thou shalt believe with thy heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and thou shalt believe with thou shalt confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. Then what do you believe? For with the heart man believeth unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what you believe into, though a preacher may not tell you that what you believe, just I believe you don't care. What are you believing in? You are believing in the life that is in Jesus. Because righteousness is a life. So you believe unto righteousness. You believe unto a life. You don't know what to believe, but you believe righteousness. You don't know righteousness, but you believe righteousness. Say that, church. Say, I don't know righteousness, but I believe righteousness. I believe righteousness that is in Christ Jesus. So, though that, by that believing, it brought about the quickening of your spirits. And only quickening your spirit. And also, you be joined in one spirit with the Lord. Your spirit became one spirit with the Lord, and your soul and your spirit was raised together with Christ. So you became enchristed in your spirit. Your spirit is Christ. The Bible says, for the spirit life, the spirit is Christ because of righteousness. Say that, George.
The spirit is Christ because
of righteousness. So the spirit is Christ because of righteousness. Or the spirit is life because of righteousness. Because righteousness is life. A big amen.
Yeah.
And so that was the engagement we did without the camp. Then every learning, even every learning of the meek of the word, supports to bring the soul into more deeper awareness of righteousness that you believe in. Especially the doctrine of repentance on dead works and the teaching of the baptisms. In those two teachings, because the essence of the doctrine of repentance on dead works is to show things that a natural mind see as righteousness. Because in Jude chapter 2, when if you have my own type of Bible, they call formally moderately, they call it according to righteousness. And full formally is called teacher of righteousness. A big amen, somebody.
Yeah.
So, and what is rain? Rain, if it's one rain, is word. According to Isaiah 55, so shall my word be. So shall my word be. As the rain coming down from heaven, so shall my word be. So rain is a word. So in the meek of the word, all let me use that. We don't use the Bible didn't call it meek of the word, he called it meek. It's not meek of the word. Meek of the word is everlasting life. He called it meek. So meek is a rain. It's a word, ministry of the word. So that ministry of the word. So especially these two teachings, the teaching. All everything is supposed to bring the soul into, because it's not easy to bring the soul into the awareness of life that is different from sin. It's not easy to bring the soul into that thing. It's not easy. So because of the amount of, because sin is a life that is not subscribed to. And that sin, in that life, it has beauty. And that beauty means he has pull, he has charm. I love the way Galatians 5 put it. He said, I have crucified the flesh. And his affection, his desire, and his lust. So you can see. So sin has his wisdom. And in wisdom, there are different kind of, in that wisdom has structures. When you study 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you will see that wisdom. It started with God, not the wisdom of man. Not the wisdom of this world, which is higher than the wisdom of man. There's another wisdom, not the wisdom of the princes of this world, which is higher than the wisdom of this world. And which is that, and the wisdom of the prince of this world is lower than the wisdom of Satan himself, the God of this world. So, and all this arrangement are what Satan transgressed. This we are building on his inside. Because we need to know when we are learning righteousness. To learn righteousness until when you can receive your scepter, you can receive your crown, and you can receive those things, you must have received rope of righteousness. Which is the image. It's a building, it's a garment. A big amen. A big amen. So you can see that what we receive was righteousness, but an essence of the meek in Christ is to gradually bring the soul. That's why we in our generation, though they told us that we receive religion, but that we grew up from the root of repentance from dead work. There are things that we are very, 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 very aware of. That this generation, or let me say our fathers, our parents in the Lord, the last of our daddy Adeboye, there are certain things that they do. From some of us, when we want to eat our food, we carry our food and eat. You feel that I don't want to do religion. This is blessed already. Before we travel, we just travel, we enter the car, we don't pray. But this, our fathers, they are where their conscience is awake. Yes, those things are so high. But we have knowledge and we say, but this day,
They feel that I just enter route and I arrive. It's not me that took myself. It's God, though. So you see them, when they want to eat their food, they pray on their food. They bless their food. When they are traveling, they pray. When they arrive there, before they leave, they pray. When they get there, they also pray. Thank God. But your own conscience is accepting those things. To them, those things are righteousness. And those things came as a result of a manner of word that they received. It was the word that responds that thing. It was the word. It was the manner of the word that worked that thing in them. It was a word that I felt that those words must have been, although those words, those scriptures were interpreted, you can say, must from the survey, that thing must have happened by reason of James. James chapter 5, that who is that one that tends to that? So he told them, I will go to that city, I will do this, I will buy, I will sell, then I will make gain. He said, you fools. So these are things that, they read, that you don't just venture until I can make plan. I will just travel to Lagos, I come back from Lagos, I will do this thing, and you that it's a sign of a man, of a soul that lack wisdom, or that lack understanding. A big amen. Amen. That even my venture in the and they saw that thing as boasting. So James was a pastor. And when you see James called this thing, he called it religion. He called it true religion and pure religion, which is an effect or work on conscience. To have pure conscience, conscience. So essence of the faith in Lord Christ, repentance from dead work, and the doctrine of baptism, on which, especially baptism unto Christ, on which new creation reality teaching stand on. Now, because all new creation reality teaching is just an aspect of doctrine of baptism. All the old work of true righteousness by Kenyon, or true life, or true kind of faith, they are just one tiny thing. Well, it's just an aspect. Because you can be the movements around one aspect of the thing, of the truth of God. A big amen. But those things were supposed to gradually prepare the soul for the season of unveiling a righteousness that is unseen. So there's a righteousness that is seen. There's a righteousness that is not unseen. A big amen. So that the meek of the world, meek in Christ, it was supposed to bring the soul. That's why your soul must be well exercised. When you say somebody become born again and himself, it's a white lie. It's because that person have not received very deep teaching of repentance on dead work. We are in our parents, where the thing that what your conscience will permit you, that's something that my conscience will never permit me to do. As simple as borrowing books and refusal to return it, and people will not return it, and will be in their house and they will see it and they will not feel return it, and your conscience is still okay, it shows amount of righteousness that you show that so lack basic righteousness. Because those are the things that meek will do to the conscience. He will wake, say awake to righteousness. So from the meek, the soul start awaking to what is similar. Those righteousness are not revealed. So there's a righteousness, you don't need revelation to reveal them. It's not about revelation. It's not righteousness that is revealed. Because that righteousness, the activity of the seven spirits is not yet at work. So there's a righteousness that a man with veil can see. There's a righteousness that a man that is blind can see. But there's a righteousness that a man that lack instruments of spirits can see. So though that righteousness is provided by the meek of the Lord. That righteousness, what unlocks that righteousness is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So right, because faith can unlock some things. So faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can unlock those things. He unlocked those level of righteousness. So those righteousness, they are not secret righteousness. So they say they are not secret. They are not secret. They are not secret. They are not hidden. But there's some righteousness that hid righteousness. They are hid from the blind. They are hid from a man that is vain. They are hid for a man that has not seen. So they are basics. But the help of faith in Jesus Christ begins to open those things, especially when you have a very well trained. And you cannot be, you can't teach meek of the world, you can't teach meek in Christ if you are not a Christ man. So that was not one of the problems that we have. We take a man that is at least that man has moved to hope in Christ for him to be to teach meek of the world better and clearer. Because why? Hope will make you that you are no longer vain in your understanding. So when you are teaching meek of the when you are teaching the meek, they are address vanity to a high level, which is vain mind. So you don't have that vain to look at teachings of the meek. A big amen. Amen. So let's move forward. So you can see that righteousness that the soul is about to wake up to. So when you see that thing, so they call that in the heart of apostle, they call that kind of righteousness, a big amen, they call it this life. They call it the word of this life. The word of this life. It's not the word of Christ. It's the word of this life. So this righteousness has its own word too. It's called the word of this life. So it's a righteousness that is not revealed. It's a righteousness that is only faith, that by faith and learning that faith in the Lord of Christ, they began to open to the soul. You start seeing it. Holy Ghost from time to time convict men. He will convict them. He convicts them. Holy Ghost lie. Though he know they are blind, but Holy Ghost will convict the hearts. He will convict them. For example, nobody told them to go and sell their belongings and distribute and take the money. They saw there was a need. He saw a need. He was under the reign of apostle doctrine. They saw there was a need. There were 3,000 people added to the church, and over 5,000 people added to the church. And suddenly, there were people that are homeless. No, apostles say, please start taking people. They are not paying people up. Now, we have to arrange and pay people up in church. Because some people are not, they don't even know that is wrong. Although scripture tells you that he that stand alone, when he falls, there will not be able to help him. You will read that in the Bible, but you still want to be alone in your house. It's in the Bible. He's blind, but he will tell pastor and elders in the church to say that, don't you read what's in the Bible? That iron sharpeneth iron. It's in the Bible. He's reading it. Iron sharpeneth iron. And it's in the Bible. But Holy Ghost has not able to convey the heart of that. So he can be in church and be hearing the revelation. He still wants to have his heart because he rather prefer to be on his own personal bed than to obey scripture that say iron sharpeneth iron. It's better for two to lie down together, but they shall be one. Taking that scripture, the fathers of faith, take that scripture. They take that scripture naturally. That when I lie with my brother, I shall be warm. And they just have little breath on them. You are only going to be warm physically, although you are not married with your another brother, but your soul will be warm. You'll be far friends in the spirit. Because you wake up together, and even when you are tired, so I don't want to pray. And that brother, one of you is praying, he's looking up, bakaya, bakura, 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 abra, abra. And you sleep today. You wake up tomorrow, you say, something your conscience, only going to start from your conscience. That why are you sleeping? Over time, of those things, conscience gather begin to come awake unto what is right. Though there's blindness, but the conscience is coming to righteousness. So it was a bright on word that began to bring forth. Though that's not what I reveal, but Holy Ghost brought for conviction by time. So you also see another brother. You see, you carry your bread. When you are coming back from home, you carry bread and you just book her and finish it in your food. Why am I teaching this thing? Nothing. I want. I wanted to teach rain of righteousness. Ah, Because I this is not my notes. So you are coming, you enter Buka. But that, when you enter Buka, but that brother is coming. He bought bread and bought akara and bought two moths or three moths for each person that is in the room. And he came around, he shared that thing. As for sharing, and you took your share, you are sitting in it. Holy Ghost begin to convict you. You chop your own eye and claim out. But it's another brother. And even that brother may not even be any as much as you. So that is right. That thing is not righteousness of Christ. But it's God to me to away the conscience. It's an instrument. So there are those things, because you need that conscience to be ready for the season of revealed righteousness. You need that to be awake. They say, because they will not declare righteousness of Christ to a soul that is not being prepared. For example, give me Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Or Hosea 12, 10. Okay, look at it. Sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. So there must be a first of all provision of mercy to you before they begin to you unveil righteousness. Some people say, I'm not changing. I say, you have not sowed. Oh, I've not sowed enough. Because you must sow to reap mercy. Things of invisible things are mercy provisions. It's the mercy of Christ. There's a mercy of Christ, or mercy of God, and mercy of God. You can't find the mercy of Christ if you have not sowed yourself in righteousness. That's like that. You see a lot of our Father, they have mercy around them because of what they sow into. They sow through the best sacrifice, sow, and they could reap mercy. Yeah. Sometimes some of them don't read mercy or revelation, but there is mercy in their natural. Yeah. And they need mercy to have power. God can trust them with power. God can trust them with some honor. That we refuse. We use revelation to cover them. Yeah. We use, and that is not revelation, it's knowledge. Because true revelation must translate to change. It's not revelation, it's knowledge. Rather, we are puff up. Let me say, we puff up. Rather than conversion, a big amen. So you see the same thing to a Gentile king in Daniel chapter 4. In Daniel 4, they find out about the king. They were talking about how God have declared, he saw a dream, and he brought Daniel brought interpretation and said, the answer to this thing. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sin by righteousness. So answer to sin is righteousness. Because sin itself is a life. To break off from sin. So you can't break free from sin without righteousness. Break off thy sin by righteousness and thy iniquity by showing mercy. When I say, blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. By showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility or lengthening of thy peace. So you're supposed to do this, supposed to continue in this. So you can see that. So you there must be a preparation before you can receive the season of righteousness, which is of righteousness of faith, or righteousness that is of Christ. Please don't forget. I said something. I say righteousness extend unto the heavens. Rabbi Joker was teaching that beautifully to the Jews of his day. He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisee and the Sadducee, you shall by no means enter into the kingdom. So he's saying that righteousness that will take you to enter the kingdom is higher than righteousness of the law. That's what he's simply saying. He must say it. He also agreed with what Paul also was teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's called the righteous dimension of righteousness that exalts. So he showed that. So I was saying that righteousness starts from, they start gradually bringing you to consciousness of what is right. That's why somebody said, why are they coming to come and tell me that? I thought that they are finished with me about patience. Especially that you learn that time may be meek. They're just teaching you Christ. And you may do Christ and start saying that the righteousness you have done is righteousness in the season where you are just about to live. God, righteousness that make you abide. He said, for righteousness that make you live. We'll get there. Ask God, give us grace. Because the word of God is lived and abided. In the sin of living, there's a righteousness that you would be. Which is different when kind of righteousness you live when you want to abide. When you want something to abide, something to remain, is different. A big amen. So we can see that awareness of righteousness is needed for them to live up righteousness that is unseen. Because righteousness that you do when you are in Christ, for example, I was teaching, is this in church? I was teaching something. I started by teaching in church. Then I also went somewhere to go and teach. I said, for when you look at what Paul called the foundation of faith towards God, dependence on the Lord, those same things that he called, we are Jew, know those things. Because he was sent to Hebrew churches. Faith towards God, independence on dead work, the doctrine of resurrection, they were not strained to a Jew. All those things. All to judgments. Because a Pharisee believe in resurrection. Sadducees don't believe in resurrection. But those things, that's why when Jesus came to preach to Nicodemus, the concept of being born again, okay, yes, I was talking about teaching it, the concept of being born again is not really what to teach a Gentile. That's not the word. Because in born again, it's new birth. Because he could talk to a Jew, be born again. You understand what I mean? You have already a work that you build upon that a Gentile, which is a dog, a swan, do not have. So a Gentile explain you have to work new beds. But a Jew does not, they don't use the word new bed for Jew. They use for a Jew, which was because he was a teacher of the law. He knows the law. And what is the law? He knows the righteousness. He knows the righteousness, which is of the law. Because he said, for we know you are a teacher sent from heaven. We know that you are a teacher sent from heaven, and no man dwelt this miracle except God be with him. And God said, you can look why, yes. It's like Nicodemus is like that young rich ruler that Joker told, he came to Joker. He came to him. He said, I've been doing this thing all the life. Joker said, one thing you lack. And you do this thing that you may enter into life, not everlasting life, not eternal life. A big amen. So it is, these things are necessary because I want to be like, we have people that are here. Maybe this is your first time of coming to this meeting. You must, and all you are continuing this journey, you have struggled to see the righteousness of Christ is because there's sometimes it may be because there's not enough temple. That's why as we are learning meat of the world and some meat of the world, you must choose again, and only again, some of all message of some of our father. I mean, old message in early 80s. I remember there was a time I listened to Pastor Shimolo's messages. And I'm talking about 80s message, early 90s message. Eagle believers. Those are teaching Isaiah 40. There was nothing about money. These are pure messages. When you listen to those 80, early 90, I'm like, Pastor Shimolo did Eagle believer. I listened to those series. those are messages that you finish listening to it, something burns in you. So there are preparation. Then it is when you are, because who shall he teach knowledge? And who shall he make to understand doctrine? Isaiah 28. They that are weaned from the meat and drawn from the breast. So you don't come into the season of mystery righteousness until you have been taken away from the meek. So if you come into righteousness, that is the cry, when you have not been weaned from the breast and the breast, you like a struggle. You're not going to be half strength of change. Because you need to be concerned. Some of us, we can't even maintain care-cut devotional life. then your conscience will take it. You can do without devotional life. And your conscience will take it. Nobody that is trained with repentance from dead work will have that and it'll be comfortable. In fact, immediately that thing happens to you 1 week, we enter into repentance and we start fasting and prayer. If we say that the enemy have come to attack his prayer life, that is the response that concept generated. If we put him, so many times we put ourselves on personal retreats. No, nobody tell me. No, we are waiting for church to call for retreat. Nobody told us to call that call for retreat. You carry yourself and go to your camp and go and lock yourself for 3 days. You no, you don't need your pastor because your conscience, I think the Holy Ghost upon your conscience move you there. Because those are the trainings. Those things, conscience are gradually awakened to us. What is not, it's not revealed righteousness, but it's not. But the conscience have been awakened. You just know that my condition is not right. I'm not okay spiritually. And so some of us can be okay, and the thing will degenerate into your presence. Your soul is generating and you're watching it. And you are not attending to it. You know that you don't have a battle for the world. Whenever you listen to message, you do a lot of fast forwarding. Whenever you are doing scripture, they tell you to read three, four scripture per day. You just, by the time you read this thing, you're fine. And you tell it happen to you 2 days, it happened to you 1 week, happened to you, and you did not do something to arrest it. But those who conscience and be exercised, they attend to it. That one, they get the response. Now that way, give me tell you that if Holy Ghost is not moving me, I move the Holy Ghost. They give me tell you, if you don't feel like praying, you start by flesh and you move into the spirits. Because of conscience, the activity or what they have revealed to the conscience are what is right. So it's when the conscience is like this, it's easier. They win you from the meek and draw you from the blood. So it's then they will start teaching you knowledge. So you can see. So the word of knowledge of righteousness is the gospel. Say that, George. So the gospel is righteousness. Look at what they happened to. So the gospel is righteousness. For example, look at when they were writing the book of Galatians, is it 4 or 5? They said, the gospel was first preached to Abraham. Galatians 3:8. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him. It was accounted. For as Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, they say are the children of Abraham, and the scripture, for seeing that God who justified the eating through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, indeed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So you can see that the gospel is the house of righteousness. I love the way Isaiah 53 puts it this way. Who have believed our report? Look at how he put it. Who have believed our report? That report there is the gospel. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So you can see that. Well, arm of the Lord revealed. He's talking about everlasting things here. But revealed righteousness is by the gospel. So the gospel is the reservoir. The gospel is the container of righteousness. Because what the gospel have brought, 2 Timothy 1, the gospel have brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. So what is the gospel? It's life and immortality. Say that, George. So what's in the gospel is life and immortality. So the gospel brought life and immortality to light. And I say, righteousness is life. Say that, George. So you can see that what they preached to Abraham, that's why those who are only emphasize righteousness of meek, which is imputed righteousness. It's not revealed righteousness. Imputed righteousness by faith in the Lord Jesus, do not know that righteousness is the tenets, is the scripts of the gospel. For example, when you say Romans chapter 1, In Romans chapter 1, you see that they call it the gospel of God. You find the gospel of his son. In verse, is it 7 or 8? The gospel of God, verse 1. For God is my witness, whom I serve with his, in the gospel of his son. There, in verse 16, the gospel of Christ. They are not talking about this. They are not talking about the same thing. So it's the first thing, the gospel. Because you cannot hear the gospel as a babe. You can't hear the gospel. The gospel is only for children in Christ who can see in part, understood in part, and taught in part. A babe. So you need to make up the word to prepare you to receive the gospel. That's the essence of Isaiah 61. For the Spirit of God is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel. A baby in Christ is not poor. A baby in Christ is not meek. So the gospel, what the meek of the world is, introduction to the gospel. It's not the script in the gospel. Oh God mighty Adam. So the gospel is the what keep righteousness. So in that first Corinthians, because essence of why Paul wrote Romans is to push out and open for the concept called the gospel. That was Paul was trying to describe. And from that first chapter, you find it. Paul, a servant of Jokai, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So the gospel of God is righteousness. The life of God. The secret. So he also called that gospel, he called it the secret of God's life. The secret of God's life. The mystery behind God's life is what the gospel is, what the gospel was packed for, and they will not preach the gospel to babe. The gospel is what the gospel of God is upon me, for it's anointed me to preach the gospel, unto the meek or to the poor. Those who are teachable. The poor are those who are teachable. And a baby is not teachable. Sometimes even some church today are not even teachable. So that's what meek is supposed to prepare you to help you to be teachable. My wife sent me one person that was trying to answer some question, a pastor about I know he must have been listening to one of our messages, and you could see the way he goofed off. Because a babe cannot handle the gospel. And because what is the gospel is layers of righteousness. So what is the gospel? Say, what is the gospel? Are layers of righteousness that extended into the presence. He extended from earth into the heavens, into the earth. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read from 13. Okay. 13. Looking for and listening unto the coming of the day of God, when the heaven on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we are according to this promise. Look for a new heavens and a new air. Everybody, Martin, new earth unto all new heavens. They say, what dwell there are righteousness. That means, so, but the righteousness in earth is less than the righteousness in the first heaven. The righteousness in the first heaven is lower than the righteousness in second heaven. And the righteousness in second heaven is higher than the righteousness in third heaven. And the righteousness in third heaven is lower than the righteousness of heaven. According to that Hebrew 8. For the Christ have not entered only place made with iron, but unto the heaven itself. Say heaven itself. They may mention only places which are heaven, but there's all but which are figures of the truth, but unto heaven itself. I mean, this heaven are different from every other heavens. Yes. A big amen. So that the heaven, and he called that heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. A big amen. A big amen. Amen. So we can see that the unveiling of righteousness, it extends from the earth to the heavens. And the heavens and into the presence. Heaven not made with end, into the presence. Heaven which is not of the former creation. So by the time they want to start unveiling righteousness, what they use to unveil righteousness is the gospel. So it means that nobody can know righteousness that is not seen without the gospel. Nobody can know what is right according to divination of God's life except there is preacher for him. So you need a preacher. Say, I need a preacher.
I need a preacher.
And not just any preacher. A preacher with seven spirits. I need a preacher with seven spirits. I need a preacher with eyes. I need a preacher that is not just a preacher of knowledge, but a preacher with ways of the gospel. So they will start me when they want to bring me into righteousness by preaching the gospel to me. They must preach the gospel to me, a big amen, until I have facility to be able, because I need knowledge. So first of all, in place. Because if knowledge is not in place, they will not give me spirits. Say that, activity of some spirit will not start in your life. You must acquire knowledge. That's why you must see that somebody say, I'm not changing, the people complete my church. I'm not changing the pastor. I'm so discouraged. I say, oh boy, you don't need to be discouraged. First of all, acquire knowledge first. Because the spot sell it in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17. It says that we grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So there must be knowledge in place first. What do you want? Spirit of wisdom and revelation to come and dwell some knowledge in place. There must be a month of knowledge in place. You must stay in teaching you knowledge. You must acquire knowledge. There's a level of knowledge. I know there's a knowledge that spirit of wisdom and revelation will bring for you. But firstly, there must have been knowledge, teaching and knowledge. Yeah. A knowledge.
Yeah.
That's why. Again, said that for many years he has been reading Bible. Both Bible were knowledge. He was putting knowledge, but he was teaching with knowledge, but without spirits of revelation. And when he began to pray for the spirit of revelation, based on the knowledge that was available, he now said, "What have I been teaching you all this year? That same Bible I've been teaching. Now I'm seeing that same knowledge being opened again." So some of us, we don't even have disciplined Bible reading. We don't have a structured Bible reading. And you are talking about the revelation, the pastor is preaching, and you are struggling, you are dragging. Because there's not enough knowledge that can attract spirits of wisdom and revelation. It's in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of him, you must have knowledge. That knowledge is not the knowledge of the person. But first of all, the knowledge, precepts must be in place. Precepts must be about precepts. Precepts must be about precepts. Precepts must be in place. You need knowledge. There must be a amount of knowledge in you before spirit of wisdom and revelation come on. So knowledge must be in place. So oftentimes, why? Even some people, the only spirit of wisdom and revelation, they've not graduated to have the spirit of wisdom and counsel because they've not transacted with that first peer. So you don't use it where to graduate the second counsel of mind. You need to use it where when you ask spirit of knowledge of mind, and you use it where it will move you. Into counsel of mind. Counsel of mind, after counsel, they will give you the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And so this is where they are disconnecting our work with God. Because the more I'm pastoring, I can see disconnect from time to time. When people see, I sit down with them and they're talking, I'm listening, I'm saying, okay, I'm making an inquiry in my spirit. I'm making an inquiry, what are we dealing with here? Like a doctor trying to diagnose the issue. I'm making inquiry. What is the problem? I'm making inquiry. I'm waiting on my spirit. Kill on cause disconnect. Where is this disconnect? And so sometimes, what do we, That's when just po. Does he have enough knowledge? That is expected of wisdom. Is he wants counsel and might. What the counsel and might are? They come to use the work of knowledge. Koni, he doesn't even have what's there. He doesn't koni. You don't even want scripture, let alone move into knowledge. Because until you have a fellow with scripture, you can't move into knowledge. And so you only be hearing, but there will not be strength for performance. There will be strength for performance. There will be strength for performance. There will be strength for performance. And you can, it's not a thing you do haphazardly. There will be consistent. I tell them presently in our church, from the beginning of the day, we read Monday to Wednesday, we read first four chapter. Thursday and Friday, we read 7 chapter. Minimum 6 to 7 chapter. You must read it. I can't be teaching in church and everybody's looking like me as if I'm a bones. I can't be teaching and people are looking at my bones. Because on one matter, I've given you 3-4 scripture. Pastor Dimeji is worse more than me in that area. When he give you one scripture, he give you 12. Me, I give you 3 and you can't even follow me. Pastor don't say give you 7. How can you? So you can see that's where they are disconnected the spirit. So we don't have enough knowledge that can bring spirits, this article of the 7 spirits upon the soul. I know this teaching is not just lying. I feel I'm teaching lying. I'm also teaching doctrine. That's what I said the Spirit of God. As I'm teaching knowledge, I'm also teaching lines. And that's what I perceive the Spirit of the Lord is helping us to achieve this. So we see that to be in place so that so it's in, when you are like that activity of the spirit begins to come. Because who shall you teach knowledge? Teach knowledge. So you teach knowledge. Who shall you teach knowledge? So knowledge can be in place. Spirit or the same spirit is to come and teach knowledge so that the door of doctrine can open up to you. Can find ways. So we can see that. So it's in that we find. So as you begin to have knowledge, and when you have knowledge, don't be in haste. Lord, for example, look at that first 2 Corinthians 15 that I read the other time. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge. I think you cannot awake to righteousness without knowledge. What is responsible to awaken to knowledge, to righteousness, knowledge? For some have not the knowledge of God. For I speak this to your shame. I think, eberembe. I speak this to your shame. So you can see that. So it is when you are like that eventually activity of the spirits, because through the wisdom come to teach you knowledge. You have acquired. I'm going to teach you so that you can. Spirit of knowledge, no spirit of wisdom, revelation, know how to work on knowledge of righteousness. It's a knowledge of righteousness. Like Paul was talking, book of Romans chapter 7. I know what to do, but I find no power to do it. Everybody always is that condition. You are not the one first a problem like that. So that's why I'm not perturbed as a pastor. I know what to do, but I mean there's no power to do it. Everybody must get to that place. That you know. Oftentimes, even what you say, you know what to do, and you can't do it. So that they are not even revealed righteousness. Because they need to have knowledge for the wisdom and revelation to act upon it, for them to become revealed righteousness to you. For them to be revealed to you. For you to see what God calls right. What the life of God calls right. For there's a way that seems right. That seems right. It seems right. It seems right. It seems right. Sometimes what seems right to people of revelation are sacrifices. They are sacrifices. They are sacrifices of fools. Because they can be sacrificed, but they are full. They are not sacrificed, they are prepared by understanding. No spiritual understanding. Get me of understanding and I'll be opened up. The gateway of understanding has not been opened. Because until a man without understanding is like a beast that perishes. He will always walk into trap. He will carry his leg, and when it's a trap, he will walk into the snare of the devil. That's why they will ask you not to make a novice a dick in the church. Someone, a soul that does not know how to handle the mystery of faith. To attain it as a pure conscience at least. Let alone waiting for the hand of the commandment with charity. And he must have handled the mystery of faith very well. And mystery of faith is not other thing. What is the faith? Is righteousness. For daring is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So if you hold the mystery of faith, you're supposed to see righteousness. That means that soul has bestowed labor on righteousness. That soul has got a labor on righteousness. He has done right labor on righteousness, and by the reason of, sorry, I've got limited time. So that soul, you cannot start before labor of righteousness without understanding coming. You see, this New Testament ministry, I see a lot of apostles that teach the word of righteousness. They don't know jack about it. You can't teach. You need visitation. You need activity of the Spirit to be able to walk, to be able to teach New Testament. So because some of these things, they are elusive. They are elusive. They are very elusive. For you, God, you need activity of Spirit to be able to fetch it and exercise your soul and train into the soul. So visitation of understanding, so that a soul can carry labor. To do labor for that which is revealed by faith. No, I told you, as every righteousness, even righteousness that come by meek is what? Is through faith. So you can see in Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power. Say power. So what does that mean? That means righteousness has forces of righteousness. So our power is the force of righteousness. And the two major forces of righteousness is grace and truth. Say that, church. Those are two forces of righteousness. You have two major forces of righteousness. Because that's what the Son of God is full of. It's full of grace and truth. Because that was a life. So the two major forces of righteousness is grace and truth. Because what? That means before you can access the word of grace, because word of grace is word of spirit. That's Hebrew chapter 10. And the place of truth is also spirit. The spirit of grace and the spirit of truth. Both of them are spirits. That means you must have done well. You must have done well with knowledge of righteousness, aware of righteousness. And also done well with the hearing of the word of righteousness. If you have not done well with knowledge of righteousness and done well with the word, the preaching of the word of righteousness, you cannot access the forces of righteousness. What you need to engage obedience for transformation. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because grace is energy. Grace is ability of God. Grace is the strength of God. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect while you are weak. So those are forces behind righteousness that will prepare righteousness for performance. So I'm not saying the gospel of Christ is the power. That means what the gospel is supposed to deliver to the soul are power. The gospel should deliver to the soul forces. What you use to drive righteousness. What you need to drive it. What you need to facilitate it. What to make you is like is the pedal that righteousness will ride upon for performance, for doing. They are the forces. Because if there's every tendency for you to want to lean upon the arm of strength when they are revealing righteousness, and that was Satan does, so that flesh shall see glory, and to short circle the process that knowledge started, and the world is driving forward. So that was the problem of Galatian church. They began in the spirit. The first of faith. which righteousness have been revealed to you. But the Moses said, perfect in the flesh. Oh, you foolish Galatian. You don't know that I've now begun to talk about grace. I'm talking about truth. Because those are the two forces of right behind righteousness. If righteousness will be done, if righteousness will be carried out, and it will be accepted and approved by God, that a man has pleased him. So we see, I hope I'm not too the thinker. So you can see that when righteousness is revealed, and this righteousness, either righteousness of God or the Father or Christ, they are the forces. That's why in Christ we have grace of Christ. 1 Timothy, the grace of Christ is exceedingly abundant with faith and love. It's a grace. So it means that the power to bring about. Because faith and love are law. They are law of life in Christ Jesus. But the energy that will propel faith and love is what? Is grace. Is the propeller. Is the strength you need to ride on with. Is the ability that you need. Those are the things that are behind righteousness to propel the soul. So that God, when you are doing it, those are the things that register and strike chord in the heart of God. Anything that does not carry grace and truth. Okay, why is it grace? Let me explain that before I land. I'll be landing with that. Why must he have the two forces of grace? Grace and truth. So we have to know, grace is the ability, grace is the strength, and grace is energy that God that is available to do the work that pleases God. What is truth? Truth means it is prescribed. It's prescribed. Prescribed, clearly defined. Truth also connotes that it's not changing. It's not changing. Because righteousness does not depend according to how you say what is right. It's not according to what seems right to you. So to say it's truth means he is originated from God. For it's a God of truth. For by this shall they all men swear by the God of truth. I mean, it is a thing that God called righteousness. That's why it's truth. That's what God says right. That's why it's truth. It's not a fact. It's not what you think. It's not what I think. That the belly that is coming from the very belly of the one that is truth. And secondly, why also is grace? Because he has strength to build you up. Because grace is a builder. He will build up the soul. So if I'm saying I'm doing righteousness, but it's not building me up, I will know that element of grace is lacking. If, another word, how is it truth? If I say I'm walking righteousness and I'm not being free, if he has this true strength, this true energy there, these two forces, I must be building up and I must be getting free. So grace is building me up where truth is setting me free. From the former imposter, from the former imposition and the former bondage that my soul has been under. A big amen. So the two major forces of righteousness is grace and truth. And that's the reason why you find that these two things, all these forces which are spirit and or power, they wrap it through knowledge also. Grace and peace multiply through the knowledge of our God. And also, God will want men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So they come through the doorway of knowledge also. So I must have transacted very well with knowledge. I can have knowledge of righteousness, but I'm not yet make available for me grace, energy of it. I feel that when they will start bringing energy to do is majorly when they begin to deliver spirit of counsel and might to me in those seasons. Spirit of counsel and might, spirit of counsel which are majorly for building, and when you move into the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the hands or a power it to become it. But when you ask me the wisdom and revelation, majorly, they have not, the season of grace is they, because they need you to be ready for it. So when righteousness is being revealed to us, we are revelation of righteousness is about to make you to see. As I said, when the spirit of wisdom, when you have acquired revelation, when revelation comes, as a revelation that you can see, you find out in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Quickly. No. You have gone too down. Three, early part. For this cause I Paul, the prince of Jehovah Christ, for you Gentiles, give me 3, 4, 5. Give me together. I don't need something down there. Is Pastor Timmy there? Please, I need you to project for me this one here. If you are aware of the dimension of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you what? Can you say grace of God given to me? Out that by revelation, he made unto me the mystery. What's that mystery? The mystery is the secrets of God's life, the mystery of the gospel, which is the custodian of righteousness. Eh? As I far wrote in few words, a big amen. I hope everything's okay there. Okay. Reverend is here. I agree, you, sir. Baba. Ekabo, sir. Can you appreciate God's servant for me once again? So look at it. Verse 4. Give me verse 3 and 4 again, please. Quickly do that. Let's be fast about that. Out by revelation. Say out by revelation. Out by spiritual understanding, you made unto me the mystery. As I for wrote in few words. Can you say, whereby when you read, you may understand. A big amen. Understand what? My knowledge. So you can have knowledge, but it's not understanding yet. You may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. A big amen. Give me 5, 6, 7. Let's do that. Let me fast. Okay. Which in other age was not made known unto the sons of men. As it is now revealed, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For there is revealed. It's revealed unto his holy apostles, prophet, by the Spirit. Give me 6, 7. That the gender should be fellow heirs and of the same body and packet of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was also made a minister of the great, can you say, the gift of the grace of God given to me by what? The effectual working of his power unto me. Who are less than the least of all these saints is this grace giving that I shall preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable treasures of Christ. Then, look, this is what I was looking for. It is when you are like that. What happened? And to make all men see. To see without seeing, you cannot do. You can't do. You must see righteousness. You must see righteousness. You must see it. And there are attitudes of seven spirits that make you to see. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Then, if you are going to do it, you will need further enforcement by the Spirit. Counsel and might. And to become it, what you are doing, to become it, you also need the enforcement of that same Spirit again. Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So, to see, to do, and to become, you need the depart these peer spirits. To see, to do, and to become. So, those training, so when you are seeing a big amen. Heaven does not see you that you are doing because you are hearing. When you are hearing, doesn't mean you are seeing. When you are hearing, doesn't mean you are seeing. You can be a hearer. Hearing, they will hear, but they're not here. Seeing, they will see, but they're not seeing. Maybe the heart of these people door. When you start seeing, it's a major time where standards are being raised unto you. Or, I love the way to orient this way. you must see twice. You must see twice. Can we just bow down and just respond to the Lord tonight? That we find mercy in this conference. That we not just be heir of the world. Allocation of grace. The two forces of righteousness be available. The force of grace and truth be available. Grace empowerment. Grace enablement. Grace develop capacity and strength. And the truth will be made available. To effect accuracy in response and work. Obedience that are required will be ministered to us greatly in the name of Jesus.
Words has spirit. Words has life has come unto you. Now is the season to walk in the things spoken. For more messages, visit our website at www.thecitygate.org. Stay blessed.